Hi everyone, it's Roger and Matt here from the Disney Kingdom Podcast. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking about Toy Story 4. We're going to be talking about a brand new Ice Age video game that's been announced. And we're also going to be talking about The Simpsons at the D23 Expo. So before we do that, just make sure you do hit that subscribe button on YouTube. You can also subscribe on the audio and video platforms. So first off, let's jump into it and let's start off with some video games. So a really weird kind of announcement that's kind of came out of nowhere. So coming in was Ice Age Scrat's Nutty Adventure, which is going to be coming out on the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, the Nintendo Switch, and the PC in the autumn of 2019. So later this year, it's being created by Outright Games, and it's also by Bandai Namco. This one, very little is really known. There was a few images shown off. They were very much like backgrounds. There wasn't really any characters. It looks like
it was just basically environments. One of them had like a statue of Scrat.
Yeah, I can't quite work out if this is going to be a 3D platformer or a 2D platformer.
I think it's going to be 3D because some of her past games, such as the Hotel Transylvania game, was mainly a Pikmin ripoff, but this studio mostly does movie license games. Like, they're also doing Jumanji. They did the How to Train Your Dragon game earlier this year. These guys are pretty busy.
So I'm just going to read the official description. So Scrat, the saber-toothed squirrel, will embark on a quest. On an epic quest through classic Ice Age locations to recover his cherished acorn from the special temple. Only the legendary crystal nuts can unlock his prized possession, which Scratch must attempt to collect as he faces prehistoric creatures to return their missing relics to their rightful homes. Players will guide Scratch through a journey through ice drains, raging geysers, burning lava, explore action-packed locations to discover treasures that lack special powers, and help Scratch to jump higher, grab heavy objects, and find every last treasure in their all-new Nutty Adventure. Now, this one really kind of was like, okay, this is cool. It was weird the fact that there was like no mention of fox necks or anything like that. That kind of all, they've all.
No,
that all
there's no mention of fox at all. It's just Ice Age. There's no blue sky. There's nothing mentioned, which is really odd.
Yeah, I am wondering what's going on. They maybe have like reshuffled around some of the logos and stuff. We don't know what's going on backstage at Disney. The fact that this is a Disney franchise, we've got a Disney game coming out.
We have no idea if this got approved pre-buyout or after buyout. We have no idea.
This had to have been done beforehand because
we have Predator too.
Yeah, we got Predator, we got a few other ones. I'm really excited about seeing what they do with this, and it might help. I'm hoping that if these are successful, it might give Disney a go, oh, it's worth trying. You know, they've obviously outsourced it to other companies. They seem to have been doing that with a lot more of their games again, which is what Disney do generally. It's rather than Fox was kind of bringing everything internally. Now they're getting everything out internally. I think this is good. I mean, I think it's definitely due for us to start seeing some. I don't necessarily even view it as a movie tie-in, but just using.
I doubt it, because there has been nothing about an Ice Age movie since the. Was it the fifth one bombed at the box office? Even overseas, it didn't do any good. So it's like, the question is, why? There's no demand for anything Ice Age anymore.
It depends if they're going to be like rebooting, if maybe they feel like there's going to be a surge in it. Maybe they're going to reissue it. Maybe if they're on Disney Plus, maybe they're just viewing that, you know, there's a gap in the market because there's just no kids games. You know, we've got Nintendo kind of holding their fort for what they're doing, but there's nothing really.
Only the movie tie-in games from this company. That's it.
Yeah, we don't see that many. That's because generally they've all been pretty bad. They've all not done very well.
Or being all switched to just mobile games that go extinct in 2 years.
I am wondering whether or not we are seeing the pullback from the fact that the mobile games. It wasn't the golden goose. It wasn't working all the time. Mm-hmm. They weren't bringing in the money that they were expecting. And maybe they go, well, actually, no, these AA games can be profitable. There's a lot of money in it. And I'm also wondering of, like, going forward, of things like there's no mention here of, like, Stadia, but, you know, the idea that if these become available on streaming platforms in the future, therefore that allows kids to play in them. Because I think in about 5 to 10 years, kids aren't going to want to be playing match-free games because they can stream Xbox and PlayStation quality games through their devices without the need of a match-free to win.
It does remind me of that Hotel Transylvania game that they released last year. It was basically just a port of a mobile game.
The thing is, as well, is these kind of games that kind of can slide under the radar. They've got the characters on there.
They barely have any trailers.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be, you know, if this did like a 6 or a 7 out of 10, that I would think would be quite good. You know, it could play, but it's not going to pull in the hardcore gamers. It's not going to be on their radar. It's just going to slide in. And I don't think there's anything wrong with making games for kids. And will it keep me entertained? I'll try it out. I will definitely give it a go. But yeah, it's that kind of thing of, yeah, it's not for me, and that's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
I'm just really glad that kids have got something to get their teeth into, something, you know, that's a little bit different. And we haven't really seen this back, and I'm glad they're doing it. Disney have completely left this whole era empty. They haven't done anything. And I'm also glad that this Ice Age game isn't connected to a movie. It's completely separate, and that's always, I think, a better option for games.
Yeah, it does help if there's a little bit of resurgence of kids' tunnels going on, because there's also the remake of the SpongeBob Belford Bikini Bottom game coming out next year. So we're seeing more and more of these like kids' games that we used to see in like the early 2000s make a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, there used to be loads of them. There was always tons of games, and some of them were good, some of them weren't. A lot of them weren't, and the game was kind of moved away from them. But then these kind of games as well, not only do they get that push when they first come out, you know, if they get put onto Game Pass, if they get put on Games of Go, PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Now, anything like that, they're getting revenue continually coming in after that as well.
Yeah.
There's a long life. This game could be pulling in money for a long time. It's not full of microtransactions. And I'm expecting it not to cost a huge amount.
Wasn't there some more Disney games that were added on the Plus recently, or the past thingy, but you're talking about like
Meet the Robinsons was added. Lich is going to be coming on to Xbox Games with Gold in the second half of July 2019. So if you're an Xbox going to go to get a free Disney, they've been doing that a lot. They just keep chucking them on there. They're all very old. They've been kind of doing one a month or one every 2 months. Disney seems to have, it's the only thing that really at the minute, if you're a kids player, that's all you've got is old Xbox games, because there's just nothing. I mean, we had Toy Story 4. Nothing. I mean, we all
thought just a mobile game. That's it.
Yeah, and even that was like a match free to win.
Even a Lego game would have been welcomed.
Yeah, it's just a shame. I am wondering. This is kind of like the last ditch of maybe what we're going to see of what Disney are going to continue to do, what they're doing with their own stuff with Fox. I think this is just one of those things that managed to slide through before Disney purchased it. I'm looking forward to it. See, hopefully we'll find out a little bit more close to time, because it's not that far off. I mean, autumn, we're July kind of now-ish, and then we're going to be, you know, autumn starts in September, so we are literally 2 to 3 months away. So hopefully we'll find out soon. But let's know in the comments below if you are interested in this new Ice Age video game. Okay, so let's move on to our next topic for the week, and this one kind of definitely came out of nowhere, but I wasn't entirely surprised, was that Disney announced that The Simpsons are going to be part of the D23 Expo. They're going to have a special presentation at the event. That will be taking place on Saturday, August 24th at 10 a.m. in the D23 Expo Arena, where they're going to have the creator, Matt Groening. You're going to have some producers. You're going to have some supervisors. You're also going to have some of the stars like Nancy Cartwright and Yardley Smith, and lots of extra surprises. There's going to be some exclusive merchandise, and they're also going to be showing us some of the new footage from season 31, which is going to be coming to Fox in the fall, and then probably then on to Disney Plus later on. Now, what's interesting about this is I think it's going right up against the movies panel, I think, if that's right.
I'm trying to remember, because I know one of the big ones got moved to Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's
To remember if it's movies or the theme park one.
Yeah, it's either way, it's going right up against it. Now, there's a little bit of an odd, like, reaction to this. I think there was a lot of people going,
it's like, it's not Disney, it shouldn't be there.
Yeah, that was the main one, of which It's always quite funny because people used to say, you know, they say the same about Star Wars, they say the same about
Marvel. They say the same thing about Pixar, Muppets, ESPN, ABC, the list goes on.
Yeah, and I always kind of think back and go, well, Winnie the Pooh and Mary Poppins and Snow White and Cinderella and Peter Pan.
Most of their stuff is from other sources like fairy tales and such.
Yeah, I don't really view Disney in that same light because to me, it's like nearly everything they have has come from somewhere else, somebody else created. Other than like the maybe the you know the classic characters,
yeah.
But other than that,
every one or two movies that are strictly original, like Stitch and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean they make lots of new characters and stuff all the time, like Wreck-It Ralph, Zootopia, etc. But Moana. I don't like you know when they throw around oh this character's been brought in. It's like well they actually do that a lot with. You know, we've seen that with, like I said, even Mary Poppins and Winnie the Pooh are not Disney creations. They were brought in. So, yeah, in 10 years' time, we're going to be looking at The Simpsons. It is funny because I think more so in America, I don't know what it's like over there for you, but Canada, Simpsons are viewed a little bit edgy and maybe don't fit the Disney thing. And I'm looking at it going...
In Canada, it's rated PG here, so it's not seen as edgy as something like Family Guy or American Dad, yeah. Which has a higher rating here.
That's the exact same thing over here in the UK. I mean, they're on at 6 o'clock in the evening where we sat there and watched our television. It literally was
evening here it's television. At 8 o'clock, so it's the first thing in the animation block, and reruns views to be rerun. On weekends at 12 to 2 p.m. So easily in the afternoon where kids could see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same here. Channel 4 and Sky show it in normal, what I would call pre-watershed. So it's always been that kind of thing of like, yeah, it's just a cartoon. It's never been edgy. It's never been late. And it's really strange. I don't have, you know, I was into The Simpsons when it came out back in the early 90s and, you know, I was 10 and I had action figures and it's funny because I don't view Simpsons at all edgy in the slightest because I think of edgy cartoons. I think of like South Park and Family Guy. Family Guy is a little bit edgy, but
now because they can get away with a lot more than they used to before.
I think when I always just think of edgy as in South Park. That is like... That is that level of, if I'm thinking edgy, you know, when I went and saw South Park, the movie at the cinema when that came out in the 90s.
Yeah, that was almost X-rated.
Yeah, that to me is edgy cartoons. I don't view The Simpsons like that at all.
And no, it's basically like the Flintstones, it's the swearing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's strange. I'm really excited about them being, I think we are definitely seeing The Simpsons being incorporated into the Disney franchise.
That is one good point because out of anything that Fox has, Simpsons is the one they keep bringing in their announcements, like Simpsons Disney Plus. They did original animation for that. And now they have a D23 panel. It's like Simpsons is the one that they've been promoting the most and they're in all the banners at their marketing things. Yeah. It's always Simpsons that represents Fox.
Yeah, they definitely seem to. It definitely feels like that is the one brand that is being positioned under the. I think it
and
is.
And they're on the main website too. The banner of the main Disney website.
Yeah, it's definitely one of their key core things. They know there's value there, and I definitely am looking at this as it's. I think that 20th Century Fox banner, I think they are going to start sliding it into the Disney zone. You know, where something like Predator slides definitely into the Fox zone.
That are
Deadpool. Yeah, and like Simpsons is something that they can kind of slide off because Simpsons is also on Freeform along with Family Guy now. I think we're just going to see a lot more integration, but Simpsons definitely feels like the number one integration we've seen the fastest, and I think we're going to see more of this. It's interesting as well, they're going to have the characters at the D23 Expo.
I think it's going to be the costumes that are currently at Universal, because those costumes are actually not made by Universal, they're made by Fox, because they were around 5 to 6 years before Universal had the rights. So those costumes, except for Krusty and Sideshow Bob, were all done by someone else through Fox. So Disney has has access to those costumes if they want it.
It's gonna be interesting to see what they do with this one, because now.
Because now Universal has to pay them for two franchises, Marvel and Simpsons every year.
I mean, literally go to Universal in Florida now, and they've got two themed lands which are owned by Disney. Mm-hmm. It just feels like, you know, there's that kind of thing of, oh no, we don't know how long that contract is or what's going on there, but they definitely seem to be pushing that one there.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a Simpsons land over in California though, is there?
Yes, there is. It's the ride, and instead of it being themed around Duff, it's themed around the town. So there's like cardboard cutouts of various Springfield buildings, and there's a Krusty Burger and a Moe's and the ride, and that's about it. It's really cramped because Universal Hollywood is a very small park compared to Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Universal Studios in California twice, but I'm thinking about now, it was about 15 years ago since I was last there.
So. Yeah, you can do that park in a day.
Yeah, I most remember me and my mates, we just ended up buying all you can eat and just enjoying the rides and just enjoying it all, but so much of it has changed since then. But I just really think it's interesting to see that. It's interesting as well that they've put this on against a big show, because I'm wondering if maybe if you can't get into that show, you're going to go there.
Yeah, most likely that's what it is, because people wait at least 4 to 5 hours to go into the movies and the theme park panels. So there's a lot of people that are not going to make it in, so there's at least something else to do.
And often as well, they sleep overnight trying to get in there. It's definitely interesting. I'm all for it. I'm very much in the line that there's a lot of franchises and a lot of stuff that Fox do that I think are going to be a great fit within Disney. And I think Simpsons is definitely one of those things. It's definitely the top end ones. You know, we talked about Ice Age on earlier. And
there is one more thing I want to bring up.
Yeah.
Remember how Simpsons had that panel at E3? That was disappointing. It was just basically them talking about a canceled party game and a month-long addition to Tapped Out. That's it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that was a little bit of maybe pre-booked before Disney brought them, and also maybe that last ditch by EA to push Tapped Out before whatever's going on with that, because that must be coming to an end at some point. But
because there was no update since March.
No. It seems to be getting a lot. I think we're going to see that with a lot of the Fox games, where they're going to be pulling them. And I also think...
Yeah, Family Guy Quest for Stuff is the only one other than Marvel Hero Battle or whatever it is that Fox does.
Oh, Strike
Force. Those are the only two games that still have major updates.
I think we're definitely going to see a reshuffling of what they're doing with all them. But nevertheless, let us know in the comments below what you guys think of D23 Expo adding The Simpsons. And on to our final topic, and let's talk about now Toy Story 4. Now, Toy Story 4 came out in cinemas this past week. I've been to see it. I know you've seen it as well, Matt.
Yep.
But before we kind of just give our brief ideas on what we thought of that one, I was very interested in the idea of it didn't seem to hit the box office very well. It didn't produce as much as I thought. And having seen it, I can kind of see why that maybe didn't happen.
I think it's probably fatigue. French and sequel fatigue, because there was like Men in Black, and there was a couple of other movie sequels that came out before that I've all disappointed, like Godzilla. That was a big failure here. And then there was Men in Black, also a failure. X-Men Dark Phoenix, that bombed hard.
Yeah, well, I view X-Men in a slightly different vein, because I view that as like, that was like, even as a Marvel fan, it's like, I want to go see it. I just never got around to it, and it was almost that kind of thing of like,
it disappeared within a week here, so I couldn't even see it.
It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all, because it's not part of the MCU. It's got nothing going forward.
Disney didn't even want to release it originally, from what I've heard.
I think they must have wanted it a little bit, because the amount of advertising they were putting into it showed me that they were
that was just left over from what Fox was doing, and we're like, okay, we have this movie, we may as well at least try to promote it.
Yeah, I mean, they probably would have saved more money had they not actually advertised it at all and just...
That and New Mutants.
Oh, yeah, I'm very reluctant on that one there, but I think Men in Black was a little bit different, because they changed the stars and changed it around a bit, and I must admit, I was not. I watch it
when the trailer was. It convinced me not to go watch it.
I watch it.
It just seems like Sony just got these Marvel actors because they're like, oh, if we get these Marvel people, people will go see it. And surprise, they didn't. Marvel fans know when something is bad and they'll avoid it, like Iron Man 3 and 4 too.
It just feels to me like I think a lot of that was more, it didn't have what was Men in Black. It was a complete reboot. It wasn't the same.
Yeah.
And also, I think there is that thing of, I look at movies now and it's like just literally Men in Black, Dark Phoenix, I'll wait for them to come on streaming or I'll wait to rent them because it's so convenient. I think it's so much easier now. And I think the big thing about us going, people going to cinemas as a whole, you want that event, you want that big reason of to go, and you want that big reason not to go. And
yeah. Theater here has this big promotion going on this week because it's Canada Day. Basically, they're trying to get more people to go to the morning screenings by offering basically half-price tickets and buy one, get one free bags of popcorn. So they're trying to get people to go during Canada Day.
My local cinemas dropped the price down this last year down to £4.99. It's a £5 a ticket, any ticket, any time. Any movie, and I've gone.
It's like $13 here.
Yeah, it used to be a lot more, and it kind of has changed. You know, we went and saw Toy Story 4, but I didn't go see it over the opening weekend. It's still putting in a lot, and I think it's going to pull in a lot of money over the summer. I know my brother and his family have gone to see it. They've been looking forward to it. I think it's a slow burner, and it will. You know, it's still number one.
Still number one. It's just that it didn't reach 200 million because this is going to be a Frozen situation again because that movie didn't start off big, but as soon as it hit other countries like Japan and such, that's when it got big.
I still think as well, the thing is with Toy Story 4 is I think a lot of us were like, we don't need it. If it didn't exist, it wouldn't matter. Frozen 2 is a little bit different because it's the first sequel. You know, we've not really seen anything.
Yeah, well, we've had the shortness special, and that's about it.
I just want to briefly just talk about a little bit there with about Toy Story 4. I did enjoy it. I thought it was a good, fun movie. I enjoyed the characters. I enjoyed what they did with it. But I wasn't blown away with it. And that was the same thing here.
I wanted it to be a 10 out of 10, but it just wasn't. Especially compared to another sequel that came out this year, How to Train Your Dragon 3. I think that one set off perfectly how to end a movie saga compared to Toy Story 4.
Yeah, it was an odd one. I mean, I don't know if they are going to move forward with Toy Story in other ways.
No doubt. The money is going to convince them to do a 5 eventually when Pete Doctor gets replaced because I just see it happening as a last-ditch effort to, make money.
I've got no problem with sequels. It's just, it felt a little, it was a number of things.
Especially after we got Incredibles 2 and Finding Dory, which were disappointing sequels. So, right now, I'm just kind of burnt out on Pixar sequels.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to next year where we've got two brand new fresh takes with Onward and also with Soul. So, that is good. I mean, I felt a little bit like that again with Toy Story 4 and why it might not have done as well. Everyone kind of saying it's great, it's good, it's fun, but it didn't have that same, you have to see it this weekend, you've got to go see it straight away.
Yeah.
My wife really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it. It's that really weird thing, if I had to give it a score, you know, a 7 or an 8 out of 10, you know.
Yeah, solid, I think I'd give it an 8.
Yeah. It was, you know, an 8 out of 10, still great. It's still a great review. It's just, it didn't, like, blow me away. There was a lot of, it felt like a number of characters just kind of got shoved. I mean, if Buzz Lightyear wasn't in.
Toys did nothing.
Yeah. I mean.
Like, most of Andy's toys barely did anything either. Like, Slinky Dog, Ham, Rex. Like, they all had, like, what, 3 lines each? That's it?
Yeah, it did very much felt like they wanted to push the new toys, and that was all they were interested in.
Yeah. And
I don't have a problem with that. It's just that I love Duke Kaboom. I thought he was a great character.
Yeah, there's also Combat Carl from the Halloween special. He's only in it for like 2-3 minutes. Mm. Like, that's it.
It did exactly what they wanted. I mean, I thought Forky was great. It just was one of those movies of going, it didn't quite hit my expectations of, and I don't know, I think the trouble is as well, when we've had movies like Inside Out and Coco and things like that, which I was really impressed with, this one just didn't, it was better than Incredibles 2, because I thought Incredibles 2 was...
Well, that was disappointing. It was basically the first movie again.
Yeah, it was one of those ones. I do at least think with Toy Story 4, it was very much a Woody movie that was very much about him, which I know the other ones have always tended to be more about Buzz Lightyear, but he didn't seem to be.
The second one was mainly about Woody and Jesse. Third one was mainly about Buzz getting corrupted by Lotso.
Yeah, I'm really glad at least with Gabby, they didn't fully do a lot so, because I was expecting her to go down it, and I also
same here.
I was glad they didn't do that, and also those Quilidris dummies, were creepy.
It's the new monkey.
Yeah, but I'd love to know what you guys thought of Toy Story 4 in the comments below, and as per usual, guys, go check us out over at thiskingdom.com. Like, follow, and subscribe. I'm James. I'm Matt. Where can I find you?
On YouTube, I have a channel called My Fuel of One. It's just basically like Disney vlog videos. And one last thing, I hate how the over-promoted Don Rinkles' lines being reused for a movie, and we only did 2 lines. Like, that is a major disappointment for Mr. Potato Head fans.
Oh, yeah.
You were making such a big deal of going through the archives, going through all the stage shows and video games for perfect lines, and we only did 2 lines. Like, we did a major advertising push for that.
Yeah, do you know what? Actually, if you hadn't said that, I would have completely forgotten. Because, yeah,
that took a point off for me. Like, that is just blatant false advertising.
Yeah, it was that kind of thing, isn't it? Of like, they almost like they couldn't really do anything with the character, but they didn't. Let's be honest, if the character was barely in it, and that was the same.
Wish we didn't mention it at all.
Yeah, if they hadn't mentioned it, we probably wouldn't have even have known about it. But nevertheless, if you've got any problems with Toy Story, let us know. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for joining us this week. We'll be back soon, and we'll see you guys soon. Laters.